Network presents the Fantasy Football Face-Off. Get ready for fantasy, DFS, and betting talk to get you in the game. If you want to win, you have to tune in. With Anthony Servino, Matt McKay, and Steve D'Angelo. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Face-Off.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the FF Face-Off. I'm your host, Anthony Servino. Follow me on Twitter at The Real NFL Guru. Follow the show at the FF Face-Off. We can be found at all the top social media and podcast platforms. Back with me in a packed football Friday. We have Steve D'Angelo at Fantasy Savvy. Steve, what's going on? I still have Matt's lower third up. I'm going to change that as you're coming in.
Yeah, what's going on, Ant? What's going on, everybody? Wednesday, regular Wednesday, but we're gearing
it's Friday,
up.
Friday, right?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm shot. It's Friday.
Yeah, me too.
My last show was Wednesday. I'm usually used to these Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. All right, so it's Friday. Yeah, it is Friday. And we're ready to roll, man. I mean, the season is approaching. We're getting more and more into these drafts. We're into like the 24th round of that super flex dynasty tight end premium draft we're doing, which is crazy. We've got 10 more rounds. Got some listeners. Me and Anthony are in it. Aaron's in it as well. A couple other face-off guys. So that's interesting. Best ball is gearing up. Dynasty is in full swing. But we're getting closer to high stakes now as the FFPC has opened up, the Players' Championship, the NFC League. So it's gearing up, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, and we were talking before we went on air. So what is it? The FFPC is now like their old football guys tournament. I thought it was now Fantasy Pros sponsoring that. And I just saw that football guys is now with the NFC or the NFFC. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, the football guys is the FF. They run that Players Championship.
No, that's no longer. That changed this offseason. That's Fantasy Pros now.
Okay. The only thing I saw was they were teaming up with Sports Hub, which is the guys from NFC, like Greg Ambrosius. So they're kind of co-joining there, which is cool because, you know, obviously those are the NFC and FFPC or, you know, the Players Championship or some of the, you know, hold some of the biggest main, you know, high-stake tournaments. So that's a good platform. It's associated with FanBall, League Safe. If you're putting your money in there, it goes right to the NFC leagues. So it's all correlated now. It's all connected. And, you know, it's awesome. I mean, I've been playing these leagues a few years now, and I look forward to the connection. I'm definitely going to be playing in both again, even more so than last year.
Yeah, we had a couple of teams together. It didn't work out really well, but we need to do a partner up again.
Yeah, we did that.
I want as many shares as possible in these large field tournaments.
Yeah, we had the one team, and then I think we had a best ball team. So we had two teams last year. Yeah, neither were too successful, but, you know, more entries this year, hopefully, for us, and more success, and I think we will. You learn from the mistakes from last year, and you apply them to this year, and you just get better.
We're going to lead off with a question from Captain Joe King on YouTube. He wants to know if Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be better than Garrett Wilson. Is this for redraft or are you talking in terms of dynasty? Like, what type of format are we talking here? That does make a difference. Or are we just talking about this year?
Yeah, this year and going forward, I like Garrett Wilson. In redraft and dynasty, I think Garrett Wilson's a better player overall. I think Garrett Wilson could do more things. I think Garrett Wilson can go deep. He's much more explosive. Amon-Ra's a good player. He's a quality player. He's kind of like in the Jackson Ninjba mold where he's a slot player who can break tackles and get open on like short outs, quick drags, stuff like that. Not totally, you know, not a ton of speed. I think JSN was like 4.6 speed. I think that's kind of where Amon-Ra is at. Garrett Wilson's like a different level player to me. So I think he's way better in my eyes. So even this year and going forward, this year with Aaron Rodgers. Now, you know, maybe if Rodgers leaves next year, you get a little bit concerned about Garrett Wilson. But, I mean, we saw him perform with a bunch of bums last year. So, you know, I don't really have many worries. The talent is he can overcome pretty much any situation. Amon-Ra St. Brown with Goff, it's a perfect situation for him because Goff has time to throw. Goff's accurate. Goff likes to throw those short underneath routes. And they really feature Amon-Ra St. Brown in that offense as well. And now you have Jameson Williams out for the first six games. So that helps.
Yeah, when it comes to these two players, they are different. And I do believe, like you, Garrett Wilson's the better prospect coming out. He was a 10th overall pick. Meanwhile, Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth-round pick, seventh pick in the fourth round. Garrett Wilson prototypes as an alpha receiver, where Amon-Ra St. Brown dominates in the slot. So really two different players altogether here. But with the right quarterback, and we now have that with the New York Jets, and I do think we get at least 2 years out of Aaron Rodgers. In short term, I like Garrett Wilson to be the more productive player. Garrett Wilson in the FFPC, we're just talking about it, right around the 15th or 16th player in terms of ADP, where Amon-Ra is going right around the same spot, 15.5 for Amon-Ra and Garrett Wilson 15.8. So they're being drafted back to back. So it's just a matter of what do you want more? Do you want the guy attached to Aaron Rodgers, who really has yet to break out, had a nice season despite all the garbage quarterback play in New York, or Amon-Ra St. Brown, a guy that we've seen perform at a high level, especially last season, a wide receiver 10 fantasy points per game. In a Lions offense led by Jared Goff, who's a very underrated, I think he's very solid to above average quarterback.
Yeah, I think, you know, Goff has shown when he has time in the pocket, his accuracy shows through, and he's good on those short and intermediate routes. And I love what they're doing there in Detroit as well with that design of their offense. Just, you know, different great schemes, and they get Amon-Ra St. Brown open. They get him in one-on-one matchups. So I think more success for him again. But overall, again, I think Garrett Wilson will further, you know, separate himself from Amon-Ra as their careers develop, those two guys.
Now, short term, I think he's talking about just in fantasy PPR, because they are being drafted back to back. This does bring up a good conversation here. I'm going to lean, because of how bullish I am on Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets, I would lean for a big season out of Garrett Wilson. Like, I'm going to have shares of both.
Yeah.
But, like, I think Garrett Wilson has an opportunity to explode this year. If you look at what he had 147. I don't think people realize he had 147 targets, the sixth most out of all wide receivers, 8.6 targets per game. The reason why Garrett Wilson didn't translate that to, you know, a better fantasy point per game mark, where he was the wide receiver 30, because the target quality rating, he was 93rd. He was 92nd in terms of catchable target rate. Those numbers are going to be top 10 to top 15 with Aaron Rodgers, and that's going to produce big time fantasy production. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, you now have Aaron Rodgers throwing you the football, so that poor target rating, that's no longer an issue.
Yeah, and he is clearly the best receiver, the best receiving option they have. And yeah, Garrett Wilson, man, he's just a really, really good player. I definitely would prefer him almost every time over St. Brown this year. That's the way I would roll. I would take Garrett Wilson if they're going in the same spot. Definitely would take Garrett Wilson first.
Jamie is in the chat saying, what's going on? Let's move into one of our talking points for today. And in the news, there's a rumor that the Cowboys could extend Dak Prescott. And the reason why they would extend Dak Prescott is to make the 2024 cap number a little bit more attractive. And this is from ESPN's Dan Graziano, saying it would be very surprising if Dak wasn't extended. Dallas has been pretty adamant about extending their core players this offseason, and Dak is on that list to knock down that 2024 cap number. And his current contract does expire in 2024, so it does make a hell of a lot of sense to extend Dak Prescott, because you're not going it. What are you going to move on? Move off of Dak for Cooper Rush? Move off of Dak for what? Like, Dak's good enough to get you to the playoffs. And who knows if Tony Pollard never goes down, if they beat the 49ers, who knows what Brandon Cooks brings to this offense, and maybe he makes that big play that they were missing in that 49ers playoff game. But yeah, you're extending Dak Prescott. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise, you're just starting over. So didn't they do an adjustment like a couple of months ago with Dak Prescott?
Possibly.
I'm pretty sure we were talking about that when we were talking about the Cowboys and then possibly bringing DeAndre Hopkins in. I wonder if this is another step to maybe bringing Hopkins in at some point. It seems like the reason why Hopkins is not moving is because any team that takes him is going to have to pay about $17 million, or almost $18 million, which is what he's due this year. So I guess that's the hesitancy from other teams right now, but obviously that could change as we get closer to the season, and maybe even in midseason, maybe if Arizona is willing to take on some of that money.
Yeah, I don't see Hopkins coming to Dallas. I mean, it could happen, but that's just such a large number where Arizona would have to absorb it. They would have to do what the Rams did with Allen Robinson and eat about $10 million. Not every team is willing to do that. Hey, if we have to pay you that much, just play football for us. So, but as far as Dak, you're going to extend Dak Prescott. He wins football games. And in fantasy, really solid player. A couple of years ago, Dak was flashing like he was going to be a top five quarterback year in and year out. 2019 finishes as the QB3 in fantasy points per game, almost throws for 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. And then in 2020, that was the year Dak gets injured. He was averaging in five games, 27.9 fantasy points per game. That's Patrick Mahomes' numbers, the way they were throwing the football. Obviously, Dak goes down. Following year, 2021, QB9, and then last year, QB13 in fantasy points per game. Big-time drop-off in touchdowns. Even though Dallas's offense was still a top-five unit, Dak goes from throwing 37 touchdowns in 2021 to 23 last year, and a big reason for that is because both Tony Pollard and Zeke, I believe, had about 12 touchdowns each.
Yeah, then you hear McCarthy say he wants to run the damn ball. Kellen Moore wanted to air it out, again, they didn't get anybody in the draft. They got rid of Zeke. Vaughn from Kansas State. But he's not like a prototypical running back. He's an undersized dude. We don't really know how much he could produce, and he's not like a grinder. And Pollard's coming off an injury. So, and they brought in Brandon Cook. So, I mean, he may say that, but right now the way the team's constructed seems to me like they're going to be passing a lot. They didn't get Bijan. They're not going to be like running 25 times a game, like McCarthy is like certainly seems like what he wants to do.
Why not?
Right now the way the team's going, but Pollard's hurt. You got Deuce Vaughn. I just don't see I don't see that style right now. I think they're going to have to bring in somebody else. Maybe they bring back Zeke. Maybe they bring in Fournette. Maybe they bring in Kareem Hunt. And then I could kind of see that McCarthy style where he wants to really pound the football and take a little bit pressure off Dak, and those turnovers that we saw were a big problem from him last year.
The Cowboys like Malik Davis. He got a little bit of running garbage time. He could be that in-between-the-tackles runner. They also have Ronald Jones. I don't like Ronald Jones. Who knows if he even makes this team, but Malik Davis would be the one I'm keeping an eye on if Dallas doesn't bring in a veteran.
I forgot to talk about Ronald Jones, but Ronald Jones, I think the only thing he can really do is run. I don't know if McCarthy's going to give him 10 carries a game, though. I mean, I don't see that.
I don't even know if he makes the roster, honestly.
Five, six, yeah, he probably doesn't even make the roster. That's why I wasn't even thinking about him. I mean, I was a Ronald Jones guy. I gave up on him last year after he just looked terrible once again. So, yeah, I think they may bring another guy. We'll see what happens, but Pollard should be healthy. I mean, he should be fine, but you know, I don't, they definitely want to split it up a little bit. And I don't know if Deuce Vaughn's the guy you want to kind of pair with totally with Tony Pollard. I think
yeah,
they'll probably
bring in a veteran. Do a lot of the same things.
Yeah, they'll probably bring in a veteran, you know.
You know, and even Malik Davis, 5'9", 202 pounds, a little bit more mass on him, but they don't have that big, bruising, short yardage back that they loved with Zeke.
Right, right.
No, if you're going to bring in Fournette, or you might as well just bring Zeke back. He already knows the offense. He knows the system. You know, yeah, he can pass. Like, I wouldn't need, like, if you're going to bring in a veteran, just bring Ezekiel Elliott back to the team.
Yeah, unless you're bringing Kareem Hunt. I mean, he gives you a little more versatility in the passing game. So he would kind of be a different type of player. He's younger. Well, actually, he's probably about the same age as Zeke, or he's close, right? But he's definitely he's more of a receiver, a receiving back for sure. And, you know, I think he would just bring a little bit of different dimension to the offense. I think he's probably more explosive than Zeke at this point as well.
Let's move on to, and we have Zach Linton in the chat. What's going on, Zach? Trey Lance is once again in the news. I feel like we talk about Trey Lance a lot. I was hoping to avoid it, but it just popped into the news feed. So we might as well talk about him and the 49ers quarterback room again, because it does make an impact on fantasy football. Because we need to know, like, they have so many fantasy assets in San Francisco. When you look at, you know, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, Jennings, McCaffrey, and Mitchell. Who the hell's a quarterback? You know, there's rumors that it could be Darnold. We saw a beat writer say Darnold might be the most talented quarterback that's ever played for the 49ers. Like, this is a team that's had Steve Young, and we know all the quarterbacks, Joe Montana, that they've had. And then we have Trey Lance, and we know that there's a lot of draft capital and controversy involved there, where it's like, hey, like, we got to get this guy in the field so we don't have egg on our face. And of course, Brock Purdy. It's like they have two extremes. You have Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, Trey Lance, who you traded up for. And right now, Purdy looks like the better player, but two out of the three are hurt. I think Darnold might even be coming off an injury. So on Trey Lance, Jeff Christensen, the quarterback's coach in San Francisco, is saying that he's made a substantial jump as a passer. That's all well and good, Steve, but, like, doesn't have a lot of, like, run. Like, he didn't play a lot in college, and he hasn't played a lot in the NFL in his short time as a pro. I don't care what Trey Lance does in practice. I need to see this guy in a football field, and if I'm the 49ers, this is a team obviously chasing a Super Bowl. I like Seattle to win that division. I think Seattle got a lot better. You're getting Matthew Stafford back and Cooper Kupp back with the Rams. Like, they can't mess around. And last year, if you remember, they lost to the Bears. They lost to the Falcons. They lost a couple of games early to where, like, you can't dig yourself into this hole again. You need to get quarterback right from week one. And I don't think Trey Lance is it.
Yeah, and I think Brock Purdy, the 49ers are definitely hoping he'll be ready for week one. Sounds like he may have a chance to be ready for week one, but still got, you know, a lot of milestones to get over. But Trey Lance never was a Trey Lance guy. You weren't a Trey Lance guy. In college, he played at North Dakota State. A lot of short throws, a lot of system throws, but he does have a good arm. He definitely can run. But he's very, very raw, like you stated, hasn't played a ton of games either in college or the NFL. So I'm willing to give him, you know, a chance to develop some, kind of indifferent to him still. I mean, I wouldn't bank on him, but I still think he has a chance to be a good quarterback in this league. He's barely played, you know, six games in his rookie year. Last year, he played that first game in a monsoon against Fields. They lost to the Bears. Then he got hurt, the first quarter on a run. And that's what I always said about Lance. Like, he's learned about how to slide. He doesn't really slide correctly. So that's something he's got to adjust to coming back. But, you know, this is at least a good report here that he's working hard. He's trying to develop his craft and get better because, you know, the Niners obviously wanted him, the type of player that he was, because they had Jimmy Garoppolo, who took him so far a few times. They wanted to bring in Lance to try to get him over that hump and win him a Super Bowl. So you'd have to think they still believe in him. It was Shanahan's, you know, pick under his regime, so they're willing to be patient with him. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I got to see it on the field too. I mean, I'm willing to really invest anything into him much, or, you know, have much belief in him at this point. So let's see. But I'm willing to give a chance. The guy's young. He's got some potential. And if he ever gets into this offense and gets a, you know, a chance and starts to, you know, perform, look at the talent around him and look at what Shanahan's done with lesser guys like, you know, not so talented guys like Jimmy G and Brock Purdy.
I mean, I think Jimmy G was a second round pick, so a little bit of talent there. But
yeah,
I think Brock Purdy would be the less talented player that you're talking about. But
I didn't mean less talented. I mean, like, you know, when you think of Jimmy G, you don't think of like a superstar quarterback. And really, the system in San Francisco, I think, helped him a lot in the talent that was around him between the defense and the offensive weapons and the scheme. And the same thing for Brock Purdy. So, you know, if Lance could just stay on the field and continue to develop, he's got a chance to be a good player for them.
Now, Jamie is cracking jokes in the chat saying apparently Sam Darnold's elite now. And that's what I said at the topic. It just doesn't make sense the way they're talking Sam Darnold up. But, yeah, like, couldn't Sam Darnold have something in this offense? Like, to be fair, Sam Darnold really didn't have a lot to work with in his NFL career. The most talent he's ever had around him was with the Panthers. And that mess last season, early before he got hurt. And Sam Darnold didn't play bad. He wasn't great, but he did have a few games where he performed fairly well. You know, Darnold, in week 16, 17, and 18 last year, or at least two out of three, he finishes as a QB8 and a QB6.
Yeah, Darnold's a guy that I never believed in, but yeah, I thought he was serviceable last year. And playing in San Francisco, again, it's a type of style that if he just plays within the system – and he could throw the ball accurately and, you know, keep his head on straight, which I think has been an issue for him, then I think he can find some success there too. I mean, you know, the Jets have it, you know, we look at Geno Smith and he's overcome a lot to be in this, you know, to have the success he has now in Seattle, you know, what, 32 years old. So it took him a while, but he was a failure for the Jets. And, you know, maybe Darnold later in his career, you never know. He could find some success. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen with Geno Smith, though. So you never say never.
And even going back to 2021, early in the season, Sam Darnold had a couple of nice weeks. Like, he opened the season from weeks 1 to 4 with 19 fantasy points, 19.9, 25.3, and 33.5. That's when I was kind of buying in a little bit. And then the wheels came off. But, you know, that was, I think, Joe Brady was still running the show. And who's the head coach that got fired last year? I couldn't stand him either.
They got the coach
Matt
from
Rule.
Matt Rule, yeah.
Like, so... if I'm the 49ers and Brock Purdy is not ready, I'm going Darnold over Trey Lance because he's the most experienced NFL starter. But even if Brock Purdy is ready, I think he has earned the opportunity to start. But I think people need to realize when he played Dallas in the playoffs, he does not look like the same player as he looked in a regular season when he actually faced pressure. If you look at the 49ers games, when Purdy was starting, who they were playing, not one of those teams had a strong defense. He faces that pass rush of Dallas, and really Dallas dropped a few interceptions. And then obviously Philly, that pass rush knocked him out of the game in three plays. So I said it the last time when Matt was on, and we talked about this 49ers quarterback room. Parcells or Madden, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have none. The 49ers think they have three quarterbacks. You don't have a quarterback on that roster. And you don't have a quarterback that's going to win you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, Purdy looked great. I mean, like you said, he had some struggles with Dallas, then Philly knocked him out. But, I mean, yeah, he would be the guy if he's ready. I don't mind going with Darnold to see what he's got, you know, while you're continuing to develop Lance. But, you know, either one of those guys, whoever – comes out on top is going to have a great, great opportunity. And, you know, they're set up for success. So they have really no excuses.
Let's now in the chat, they're bringing up, it's 50 LRX saying, bring up Jim Brown, and the passing of Jim Brown, which happened a little bit ago. Jamie's from Cleveland, so that's obviously a big hit to the town, Steve. We have to say, like, Jim Brown, whether you're a Browns fan or not, and, you know, even had some issues off the field. Jim Brown revolutionized the running back position. And I'm a running backs guy. Jim Brown is a type of running back. If you want to be anybody and you want to go back and look at film, go watch Jim Brown play this position. And Jim Brown was just, if you go back and look at the Cleveland Browns running backs, it wasn't just Jim Brown. Back in that era, they produced a lot of good running backs. But yeah, Jim Brown, big loss to the NFL world, Steve.
Yeah, that I saw that. The Defleys, you know, some hit harder than others, and obviously he's a legend. You know, arguably the best running back that ever played. I never saw him play other than highlights, mm-hmm. obviously, but you know, he obviously did a lot off the field as well, working with gangs, going into the hoods and trying to just make those places better. So the guy was very active in that way as well. So, you know, everybody has their own struggles and things they go through in life too, but you know, we're all sinners. So I know he's got some things on his record as well, but you know, overall, man, great player, great activist, legend in the game, and this would definitely be missed. And if you're a Cleveland Browns fan or if you grew up watching him, I'm sure, you know, this hits pretty hard.
Yeah, you know, 87 years old, 6'2", 232. He was built like a player who could probably play in today's game.
Yeah, for sure. He'd be awesome.
Played in Syracuse in college, sixth overall pick in 1957, played his entire career with the Cleveland Browns and his accolades, including an NFL championship in 64, NFL MVP, which is like a quarterback's thing now, but running backs did used to win it, and he won that three times, rookie of the year, first team All-Pro, 9 Pro Bowls, 8-time NFL rushing leader, NFL wow. scoring leader. NFL rushing touchdown leader, NFL rushing yards leader 8 times.
Wow.
I mean, unreal running back and football player overall.
But it's almost like the,
what
it's
Jim
almost
Brown
like the,
did for this league.
It's almost like the Babe Ruth of football, you know, in a way. And then he did a little acting in his career as well, right? So the guy kind of did it all, man. Yeah, definitely, you know, he's going to be very, very missed. But you know, I think he's in a better place now. And, you know, rest in peace, Jim Brown. God bless.
Who are some of those other running backs on the Browns that I'm missing here?
Back in like, well, I don't know. I can't
obviously
really...
back in the day. Yeah.
My history doesn't, I'm not really a history buff in that way with the Browns. I really couldn't say. I mean, I remember like, you know, more recent
Bobby
guys.
Mitchell, I think was one of them. Yeah. They made a movie out of what Marion Motley, but who's the, they made a movie out of one and I'm forgetting. I'm drawing a blank on who it was.
I'm not sure.
Now it's going to bother me until I figure it. Yeah. Bobby Mitchell.
Oh, Ernie Davis. Are you talking
was
about?
It Ernie Davis? Leroy Keller. Just so many of them though.
I don't know. He played at Syracuse too. I don't know if he played for – oh, yeah, he played for Cleveland too. Yeah, Ernie Davis story. The Express, it was called.
Yes, yeah.
Yep. I'm pretty sure I saw that movie years ago. I forget. I mean, I have to watch it again. But actually, he's from Elmira, New York, which is interesting. I've been there, Elmira, New York. That's where Mark Twain actually had – used to write a lot of his books.
Really?
So yeah.
Ernest Byner, another really good Brown. I loved Ernest Byner.
I remember Ernest Byner.
I played with him in Tecmo Bowl. He was like my first, you know, memory of a video game with players in it. It was Tecmo Bowl, and Ernest Byner was the running back.
Yeah, Ernest Byner was good for sure.
Let's get back to some more positive news. Again, rest in peace, Jim Brown. We already talked about Davante Adams in the last show. So Samaje Perine, if you go back to our Wednesday show, we spent a lot of time talking about the Denver Broncos and their running back situation. And just to, you know, to cement why that Matt, myself, and Steve all are into Samaje Perine, this report is saying that he's going to have a significant role in the offense. So we're not going to go back and talk about Samaje Perine. We already assumed this because of all the unknowns going on with Javonte Williams. But what I do want to talk about with the Denver Broncos is Russell Wilson. Because, Steve, you remember this time last year, and really a lot of the last year's offseason, I was completely fading Russell Wilson. I wanted nothing to do with this offense. And that turned out to be the right move. But now, almost a year later, I think I'm buying into Russell Wilson a little bit. And a lot of the reason why, and obviously Sean Payton plays a role. But if we go back to last year, they fire Nathaniel Hackett. And Russell Wilson, down the stretch, he finished the year as a QB5 or better 3 out of the last 4 games. We saw Jerry Jeudy pop last season, too. But the fact that Russell Wilson had that stretch to end the year shows that he's not fully cooked. And it shows that he could do a lot with this offensive personnel. So it's a matter of, okay, we sprinkle in Sean Payton. What version of Russell are we going to get? Right now, he's going as the 177th player off the board in the FFPC. He's a value in best ball, and he's going to be a value in redraft leagues. Where are you, Steve, on Russell Wilson? Because he's somebody that I was never a Russ guy, but at his current price point, and if you're fading quarterback and you're waiting to draft one, he should be circled. Like, he should be the first one you're looking at in the double-digit rounds.
Yeah, again, just one share for Russ for me last year, but I did think he was going to have a good season. It's just that I was getting other quarterbacks. But when you looked at Russ, he definitely looked a little cooked despite Nathaniel Hackett. Wasn't running as much. Didn't look like he was able to scramble and get out of pressure like he was used to in the past. And his rushing numbers have come down the past 2 years. 183 in 2021, 277 in 2022. Yeah, last year. So, you know, you look at previous years, that's kind of what made him more relevant as a fantasy quarterback. 500 yards, 800 yards, 400 yards, you know, 3 touchdowns.
He had
touchdowns.
About 800 yards. He had 1 year over 553 yards. And that was 2014. So you know.
Yeah, that year he killed it, 849, 6 touchdowns. But he had several, like three seasons with 500 yards. He had another almost where he hit 500. So, you know, now that he's basically not even hitting 200 or 300, it's a little concerning. Maybe he kind of starts running a little bit more, but he's going to have to pick up those passing numbers. Last year, just 16 touchdowns. The year before that, 25. 2020 through 40, 2019, 31, the year before that, 35. So he's got to get back in that 30 range. Are you willing to bet on that? You know, maybe with Jeudy fully healthy now, Tim Patrick coming back, Marvin Mims, who Peyton likes a lot, Cortland Sutton, you know, Dulcich in his second year, you know, Javonte Williams maybe comes back healthy at some point in the season. So are you willing to bank on that and make him your QB1? And go for the value, you know, maybe if you're in a lot of different leagues. But right now, I don't think I'm all the way there on Russ Wilson. But you'd have to think with Peyton and those weapons, you know, he really has no excuses. He should be able to hit 30 touchdowns. But is Russ cooked or is he not? It's a big question.
I mean, obviously, he's getting older. He's not the same player. But there's more than enough weapons for Russell Wilson to thrive in Denver, especially with the addition of Mims. Like, they were only really 3 deep anyway. Like, I never believed in Hamler, who was always banged up anyway. And then Tim Patrick goes down, and then they were really only 2 deep with Sutton and Jeudy, and I think Sutton's a little bit overrated. But now we add Mims, you have Patrick coming back, and then you have Jeudy as the 1, Sutton as the 2. They're a good 4 deep at receiver. Sean Payton, if we look at the reports, he doesn't like their tight end room, so they bring in Troutman. So that tight end room is going to be productive. And, of course, the running back room, once that gets figured out, it's a pretty good offense. And again, for what you are paying for Russell Wilson, he is going as the 17th quarterback off the board. So if you punt quarterback and you're not going after one of the top guys and you're waiting, you can – you know, at that point, that's when you carry 2 quarterbacks. You're going to probably stream and play the matchup. I wouldn't mind if I took a Daniel Jones and a Russell Wilson, or a Geno Smith and a Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers going as a 15th quarterback. Aaron and Russell Wilson. Goff and Russell Wilson. Like, I don't hate that pairing. Yeah, and that could take you into a deep playoff run of fantasy.
And that's probably what you got to do. If you're going to take Russell Wilson, get another quarterback. You can play matchups in case Russ, you know, kind of isn't, you know, living up to expectations, what you thought he was going to be. You got another guy right there to use. But he's going to have to hit the 30 touchdown mark or get into the 4,000 yard range, again, which he hasn't done the past two seasons. So that's a big question. Can he get back there? There's definitely a chance with the talent, the coaching difference. But he's not going to run as much like he did in the past either. So he's getting older. I think he's not as good as he used to be, obviously. But could he throw 30 touchdowns? It could happen. But again, if you're going to go after Russ and get that value, you want to get another value quarterback as well.
And normally I like to look at numbers and be like, okay, well, he had a nice finish down the straight. Like, his overall numbers and metrics last year are going to be irrelevant because Nathaniel Hackett isn't there. So I kind of throw last year, like looking at, he was number one in deep ball attempts. What does that even matter? Because we don't know what's going to happen in this Sean Payton system and how he's going to utilize him. But I'm basing my take off of Russell Wilson's price point. You know, yeah. Russell Wilson's normally a top 8 to 10 fantasy quarterback in drafts. And the fact that you're getting him QB17 in a lot of spots like that. And we know this guy brings a ceiling if everything works. So value alone, you need to consider drafting Russell Wilson, especially if your strategy is targeting a late round quarterback. Now, in the chat, Jamie is saying he traded Tim Patrick for Ford, the running back, or the number two running back, in Cleveland. So starting off with Patrick, as much as I like Tim Patrick, I do think Marvin Mims is probably going to win that starting job over Tim Patrick.
Really? Even as a rookie?
Why not?
I mean, it's possible.
And I like Tim Patrick, but, you know, Marvin Mims was taken. He was a second round pick.
Yeah.
94th percentile speed, 91st percentile burst. You know, he's a speedy guy. He's a pretty good athlete. 96.2 athleticism score at Player Profiler. And he was hyper-productive in college, especially in 2022. 54, 91 targets, just under 1,100 yards, 20.1 yards per reception, and 6 touchdowns. Even going back to 2021, he had 22 yards per reception. So he's a big play receiver. So was Tim Patrick. I would probably go with the younger legs.
Yeah, and Peyton likes him, obviously, and he's not tied to Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick is coming off an ACL. So, again, we saw what Gallup, you know, Gallup's in the news, too. We can talk about him. But, you know, he didn't look so right coming back from his ACL injury. So it could take a little while for Patrick to get a little more acclimated coming off the injury. Yeah, and Marvin Mims definitely has a great opportunity here. Like you mentioned, a lot of production at Oklahoma. So, yeah, I like it. Again, going back to Russ, last thing I'll say is I mean, like you said, he's definitely got to be looked at for the value. And as we get closer and closer, you know, we hear more reports and maybe we see him in the preseason and he's really looking good, because Peyton, I think, really could make this offense really pop. And we could see Russ hit the 4,030 touchdown, marks once again.
Now, back to this trade. Moving, and if this was a straight up trade like Tim Patrick for Jerome Ford, I think that's a big win for you, Jamie. Like I said, they drafted a guy to probably start over Tim Patrick. And as much as we like Tim Patrick on a show, and I don't keep it at me, like, he doesn't have the talent, he doesn't have the same skill set as a Marvin Mims. You're getting Jerome Ford, who, unless the Cleveland Browns bring in another running back, he's slated to be Nick Chubb's handcuff. So you've moved a number four wide receiver on paper for a number two running back in an offense that's expected to be a lot better than people think in Cleveland. So that's a big-time win, and we haven't seen a lot of Jerome Ford at all, but just sheer opportunity, the fact that they let D'Ernest Johnson walk, they let Kareem Hunt walk, Jerome Ford's the next man up, and they have to like Jerome Ford enough not to go get a number two running back, because Nick Chubb has missed some time, and they need a running back to get this offense clicking.
Yeah, they've used, you know, multiple guys. We saw them use Hunt, D'Ernest Johnson. So even when Hunt was hurt or Chubb was hurt, so they like to use a couple guys. They got a good run blocking line. So, yeah, I think that's a good trade. I mean, I'm not going to say you definitely won it, but I think it's a good, you know, I think Patrick coming off ACL, he's getting older. He's kind of buried in
29.
That room. Russ. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's taking a shot. And I think, you know, it's a good trade. Could work out for you for sure.
You know, they have Felton, John Kelly, Nate McCrary, and Hassan Hall. Like, yeah, you just picked up, you know, Nick Chubb's direct handcuff, barring they bring back, what's his name, Kareem Hunt, which I don't see them doing after they trash his speed during this offseason. They said that, oh, he definitely lost a step.
Yeah, kind of like Felton, but I don't think he's like your traditional, you know, every down running back. So Ford kind of fits that bill a little bit better.
Let's see. What else do we have to do? We have a little bit of time left, Steve. Who was it? I feel like there's somebody missing that we were. Oh, Josh Downs. So nothing big on Josh Downs, Steve, other than he signed his rookie contract. But this does give us an opportunity to talk about the Colts. What is your overall outlook on the Indianapolis Colts, starting with Anthony Richardson? I'm not sure if you were on, but Matt and I certainly talked a lot about Anthony Richardson so far.
Yeah, I think Richardson, obviously, you know, there's a lot of excitement around him for good reason. Young, explosive, so much talent, so much upside. I think he probably will start the season over Minshew, you'd have to think. Mm. And I think the Colts are definitely going to want to use him running the football. So for fantasy purposes, I think he'll be pretty good. Throwing the football, I think he's still got a lot of growth. You know, I think he's got to learn a lot about reading coverages. He's definitely got accuracy issues. If you go back and watch the game against Kentucky against Will Levis, that was early in the year, but just some, you know, boneheaded throws. His passing stats didn't pop off the table at Florida, but definitely could develop. Is it going to happen in year one? I have my doubts, but, you know, I like Josh Downs. Quick dude coming out of North Carolina, plays in the slot. He's going to play in the slot for the Colts. I think he'll be a good target for Richardson to go with Pittman and Alec Pierce. They got all those tight ends like Jelani Woods and Mo Ali Cox, those freaks. So they definitely got some weapons. They still got Jonathan Taylor. It's going to be an interesting offense. I mean, Richardson, I don't know. I'm not there yet to say, like, I think he's going to be an elite quarterback in this league. I'm kind of, you know, 50-50. I think he has a chance to be, but right now I don't see it. But, you know, I think for fantasy purposes, if they're going to really use him in the running game, which I think they will, I think he could be very relevant.
Yeah, the only, like, I don't like this rookie draft class. Let's start here. I'm not very high on it. But Richardson does, to me, have the highest ceiling because of his skill set and the size. But I have to point out, he's raw, just like Trey Lance. And I don't think people are, neither one of them played a lot of football, but Anthony Richardson, he's a little bit bigger. I think he's a better athlete, and I think he's better running the football, which is where he's going to bring that immediate fantasy value. Now, could Steichen develop Richardson as a passer? Well, he helped Justin Herbert, certainly helped Jalen Hurts, but the difference is that Justin Herbert had an elite offense around him. He, you know, a pretty good offensive line, excellent running back, excellent receivers. Jalen Hurts, they add in A.J. Brown to what they had with the running backs and Goddard and Devonta Smith. All of a sudden, Jalen Hurts pops. We don't have excellent in Indy. Like, obviously, Jonathan Taylor's excellent. I think Michael Pittman, compared to the consensus, is very overrated. Like, I don't think Michael Pittman is as good as fantasy Twitter thinks he is. Yeah. Alec Pierce is just a guy, and they bring in Josh Downs to replace Paris Campbell in the slot. So, and the tight end room, it's terrible. I don't care how freaking, they haven't done a damn thing. And all we hear year after year, oh, this is a good tight end room. No, it's not. Well, otherwise, it's like they would have done something. They haven't done anything.
They don't ever commit to one guy. They play like three guys all the time. And they're throwing them all around.
But they don't do anything.
They don't do it. But if they just gave one guy like a shot, I think it'd be better off. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what the hell the Colts tight end room, even with the new coaching regime, seems to be the freaking three-headed circus still. So Yeah, I like Bryce Young over Richardson. Richardson, I still think, is a raw prospect. I definitely get excited about his prospects. But I agree. I think Pittman's a little overrated. Alec Pierce, I like some things he did last year, but I don't think he's like a true number two guy. You know, maybe with a better passing quarterback, he could be. And then Josh Downs.
Like, I get harassed over my Michael Pittman takes. When I say he's over, I get harassed about it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people love Pittman. They're in love with him.
Of course,
for sure.
They are.
And I'm with you. I was never like crazy high on him. But yeah, it's gonna be a trend. Steichen definitely, like you said, help Herbert and Hurts, and that's why I think they're gonna run the ball a lot, because he did that with Hurts. He's gonna do that with Richardson. You'd have to think Irsay obviously wanted a big part of Richardson. He's going to be pushing them to start him right away, I think, as well. So you'd have to think Richardson, you know, unless he looks really bad in training camp and preseason, he'll be out there week one.
Anything on Josh Downs here? You're good, like, good slot receiver, really good athlete. 89th percentile burst, 86th agility, 71st percentile 40-yard dash, and he has a 62nd percentile catch radius. Really good all-around wide receiver. Falls to the third round. I think he could be quietly productive out of the slot, because we're talking about it here. Anthony Richardson is not an accurate quarterback. He needs to develop. So those short and intermediate routes are going to be dominated by Josh Downs because of his skill set playing as a slot receiver. And this is a guy who has on his collegiate resume, 2021, 101 receptions, 148 targets, 1,335 yards. He had a 38.7 target share that year with 8 touchdowns. So this is a guy who could command a large target share and produce.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not willing to bet on him right now. More so, for redraft, for dynasty purposes, I don't mind. I think he could be a good player in this league and go along with Richardson developing him, But, yeah, again, back to you brought up Trey Lance. I think Richardson's a better prospect than Trey Lance. I like Richardson's pocket presence. I think that's one thing he does have, which is key. And obviously he played in the SEC at Florida, compared to Trey Lance at North Dakota State. So much higher level competition. So, I think Richardson's a better prospect. And then I think Josh Downs, again, for me, redraft, I don't know if I'm going to be all over him. But it's early now. Things could change, But I think he's better for dynasty at this point.
He's going as 157th player in FFPC leagues right now. He's a dart throw. But in a PPR league, he's a dart throw that could potentially get you a lot of targets. There's a chance here that what if he leads this wide receiver room in targets over Michael Pittman because he plays in the slot?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I think it's possible. I think the only guy I really want to own is Jonathan Taylor. I think I'd go back to that well again. I don't know.
God, that hurt. He killed us last year.
Dobbins, yeah, those two guys. We missed on some big picks for sure, and Taylor was it was a disaster. I mean, we talked about the guy's never got hurt in his life, and he finally got hurt, and he was down and the offensive line was just not opening holes like we were used to as well. So
getting older,
yeah, that's definitely troublesome.
But all right, Steve, that's going to do it for today. We're going to wrap up. We'll be back on Monday. Like I said, now that we are inching closer to the NFL season, we're going to be ramping up the live shows again and bringing you a lot of these, just breaking down the news and the players, applying it to fantasy and just helping you win your leagues and win your drafts.
We got some drafts coming up too, right? We'll do some live drafts.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should do that on if Monday's another light news day, maybe we'll do a draft.
A best ball mania, maybe.
Yeah, because I think we can get into the same draft room and do something like that. So look out for that. If it's a light news day, a light news weekend between now and Monday, expect a live best ball mania draft. But again, until then, for Steve and myself, this is the FF Face Off. If you want to win, you have to tune in. Have a good weekend.